Welcome to the Excel Pod. Welcome to Excel and Reflect. In a world that rarely slows down, this is your invitation to pause. Each week, together, we step away from the noise of life and lean into the stillness of God's Word, creating space to try to think deeply and meditate intentionally and reflect honestly on the words of God. Every episode centers on a specific biblical text or spiritual truth, not for surface-level reading, but for thoughtful engagement that allows God's Word to shape our lives. You see, this podcast is a place that, for only a few minutes, if you will, we can slow down, listen carefully, and try to be formed by the truth of Scripture, whether this is for personal devotion, a quiet meditation, or intentional reflection. So today, with me, as we begin our week, as we begin our day, take a breath, open your heart, and join me as we seek to excel in our understanding and reflect on the faithfulness and goodness of God. This is Excel and Reflect. This week's thought is entitled, When the Church Cares, the Church Grows. In Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1, the Bible reads, Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of these tasks. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Permanus, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and the great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. This week's reflection is on compassion. Every time the church in Jerusalem experienced growth, Scripture shows a consistent pattern that spiritual expansion was tied directly to compassion for those in need. In fact, in the early chapters of the book of Acts, it highlights this connection again and again. For instance, as we read in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 44, it says, And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1, we read, As they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be made known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health." We would again read in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to them was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or of houses would sell them and bring the proceeds in the sale and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would distribute them to each as they had in need." We could continue to go on over and over within the book of Acts, but this would even continue on later in the Corinthian letters, such as what we would read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 1, where Paul would write to the church at Corinth, saying, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections may be made when I come. And when I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me." We find the consequences of those words in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where in verse 1, Paul begins by stating in this second letter, "For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I have sent the brethren in order that our boasting about you may not be made empty in this case, so that, as I was saying, you may be prepared. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, not to speak of you, will be put to shame by this confidence. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead of you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness." You see, what we find here within the Corinthian letters is the same thing that we find within the book of Acts, that the church was taking care of those who were in need. In this case, the church in Jerusalem. You see, where there was generosity, unity, and sacrificial care, the gospel flourished. The church grew. Even today, seasons of dramatic change, fear, and uncertainty, people long for reassurance that they have not been forgotten. In fact, in Acts chapter 6, in verses 1 through 7, it records such a moment. The Greek-speaking widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution, leading to frustration and a sense of abandonment. But the church responded with compassion, organization, and even action. And as a result, the word of God, the Bible says in Acts 6 and verse 7, kept on spreading. You see, this raises a necessary question for us. What kind of people will we be? God has always cared for the poor and the needy. Compassion is not a modern idea. It's a part of God's eternal character. His laws even reflect this type of concern. in the sabbatical year ensured provisions for the vulnerable in Exodus 23, 10 through 11 and Deuteronomy 15, 1 through 11. And he warned his people not to oppress the poor or even the stranger in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 14. But that's not all. God would even make promises to the needy, such as we find in Psalm 19 and verse 18, where the psalmist writes that he will not forget them, or Psalm 12 and verse 5, where the psalmist writes that he will arise to give them safety, or even in Psalm 35 and verse 10, where he will deliver them, or Psalm 113 and verse 7, where he lifts and strengthens them. Even the prophet Isaiah would write to this concept in Isaiah 41 and verse 17 by saying that he would not forsake them. Few passages capture God's heart better than Psalm 146, starting in verse 5, which states, "How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who have bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." You see, these words describe God as the God who feeds the hungry, frees the prisoner, lifts the bowed down, protects the stranger, and even supports those who are widows and orphans. And God expects his people to reflect this same heart. Proverbs calls the righteous to defend the poor in Proverbs 29 and verse 7, while condemning those who neglect them, Psalm 37 and verse 14. The New Testament even would echo this idea loudly, as we would read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, where Paul said, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need." Though Scripture warns against supporting laziness, 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 13, it overwhelmingly teaches that the people of God must stand with the needy. Jesus would embody this compassion, and we must imitate him. You see, Jesus is the perfect example of compassion. Scripture calls us to imitate his heart and his actions, Philippians 2 and verse 5. His mission itself was even rooted in compassion, according to Luke 4, verses 16 through 19, and the prophets are those who foretold that very idea, Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 4. But it wouldn't stop there. Even the apostles, Paul of that matter, followed that same example within his ministry to others, Acts 20 and verse 35, and 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Jesus, in his parable of the Good Samaritan, would even make compassion the highlight of that story, making that one act unmistakably clear in Luke 10, 25 through 37. You see, compassion does not ask who the person is or whether they deserve it. It simply acts, because real faith becomes real life. The early church lived in this state of compassion, and so must we. The first century church repeatedly demonstrated generous care, such as in Jerusalem in Acts 2, 41 through 45, the church in Antioch, Acts 11, 27 through 30, and even those in Macedonia and Achaia, Romans 15, 26 through 28, and finally in the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, and 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. You see, they supported their own, supported other congregations, and did good to all, Galatians 6 and verse 10. Their example leaves us, no doubt, with this understanding that compassion is the hallmark of the church. Today, we can follow this very pattern, and their pattern can be followed in practical ways, such as providing shelter, clothing, food, financial help, medicine, transportation, childcare, or simply a loving visit. The church grows when the church cares. The book of Acts demonstrates that. Jesus modeled that. God commands that. And the early church lived that. So now it's our turn. May we be the people who see the needs around us and meet them with the heart of God. As we close today's episode, take some time to carry this thought with you into the rest of your day and the rest of your week. Excel and Reflect is more than just a podcast. It really is an invitation to pause, to listen, and to let God's Word speak deeply into your life. So don't rush away from all that we have thought about today. Sit with it, think about it, and let it shape the way that you think, the way that you respond, and the way that you walk with God. Each week we'll return with another passage, another truth to consider, and another opportunity to reflect on how Scripture continues to form our hearts and direct our steps. Remember, alongside each episode, we'll also have written articles that will continue that reflection and allow you to take it with you and make notes on your own to dig deeper into these spiritual thoughts. I want to thank you today for joining me. And until next time, I hope that you'll keep your heart open, your mind focused, and your spirit attentive. And let's continue to excel and reflect together.